This is my first time using a microphone here, and it sounds so loud. Is it loud out there? Woo! Bring it down just a little, because I'm like, whoa. See, I speak to the youth every Wednesday, but I don't use a mic. I have a big mouth, so it works just fine. It was interesting. Karen Thompson asked me, hey, what are you speaking on this morning? And I told her, I wish I could remember right now what the exact words I told her was, because I said, I think sometimes we get overwhelmed by life and we forget who we are. We try to do all these good things and great things for God, and we try to follow these rules, and we do that, and we forget who we are. And I said, that's all I want to share. We're children of the King. We are God's children. And it's funny because even in those songs, one of them said adopted. And we are adopted. See, we aren't necessarily his bloodline, but being adopted, because I'm a foster kid. And I finally ended up in a home after a lot of years that brought me in to be part of their family by choice. And for a long time, I was wounded, if you will, because I thought of myself as unwanted. But how special it is that God chose you, right? Well, that is, I'm done. We can go. I'm just kidding. I told her I wish I could portray that feel I had when I said to her through the message. This week, as I'm thinking about it, sometimes messages come easy, sometimes hard, and I had a central theme going through all week for me. I shouldn't admit to this, but my car has a DVD player in the dashboard, and that's not the part I should admit to. This is the part I shouldn't admit to. When I'm driving, I listen to movies. That's probably not wise, I realize that. But I listen to movies, and this, I go through a lot of them. Sometimes I listen to music, sometimes movies, and I threw a movie in there that I hadn't seen in a long time, and it was, I don't even know what it's called, but it's about Antoine Fisher. I don't know if it's the story of Antoine Fisher or what it is. And it's this guy who is in the military. He's a sailor. He's in the Navy, and he's got all this anger issues, and he's just angry at the world, and somebody says something, anything, and he's in a fight and all this stuff, and he ends it up with Denzel Washington as a psychologist. And it's a good movie. It's a little bit rough, a little bit hard if you came from a broken home, a little bit rough to watch in parts of it, because it talks about his brokenness, and it talks about him going back and looking at his life. And the truth of this whole story that they tell is that sometimes we have to go back and deal with our past in order to be in the present, right? And so that's what this movie's about. And then my wife, I asked her if she would teach Wednesday night to the youth group. And so she did, and she did an excellent job. She talked about how the church is a family and that the church needs to be a family. How about that? It should be a family. And our youth group, we had about 45 here Wednesday night, and it needs to become a family. And a family is, at least in my family, it's hard sometimes, because that's where you know each other the closest and deepest, and sometimes it's ugly, right? But it's your family, and you love your family, and you're with each other, and you walk it out no matter what, right? And so she did that, and we had a great time. We all got to share as to why we chose to come to Jesus, and as family, right? Even though we're whole as a family, we're all individuals. Why did you choose? Why? And it was just a really cool thing. And then I had a couple conversations, mostly by text, several actually, with people who made these statements this week that I feel out of sorts. I feel like I'm not being a good vessel. That person's here. or that I'm in a rut. I need to bounce back. I need to, you know, I'm just struggling. And these things all push me to one thing that just overwhelmed me, and that is, who am I? Who am I? Sometimes the hardest part of moving forward in our faith is as simple as knowing who we are. Sometimes it's not getting more educated and knowledge-based, but sometimes it's understanding who we are. See, there is great value in looking back. See, God's word even tells us that it's okay. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. And yet sometimes it is good to look back. See, Pastor Leonard uses this term. He calls it BC, right? You guys heard him say that? Before Christ, my BC days. Like, I remember. And every time he talks about my BC for him, because he came to the Lord later in life, and you have a mindset that's completely different before Christ than once you know Christ. And what's interesting, because whenever he'd say BC, he'd say, but now. And I would sit in my chair and I would think to myself, do I have a but now? Do you have a but now? In other words, before I gave my life to Christ, I was like this. But now, as 2 Corinthians says, I am a new creation. I am made new. And if you don't have a but now, you have to, and I sat back there when he said that, and I thought to myself, what is my but now? And I go through my issues in life, my failures, my shortcoming. Gosh, in a lot of ways, I'm still doing the before Christ time. I still make mistakes, and so there's value in looking backwards to look at our past and our failures in order to learn. See, there's some areas of my life that I'm still stuck in the BC part of my life that I haven't given them to God. I've tried. I've admitted it. I've acknowledged it. I was like, man, I still struggle with this area of my life. Why am I still in the before Christ era when I know I'm now a new creature? I am a new creation. The old is gone, is it? But now, you know? And that but now always gets me. When I think about but now, you know, it's valuable looking back also to see the path that God has put you on, right? See, not everything in the BC is about you and your failures. Sometimes we get caught up because of the life circumstances we've lived. For instance, this Antoine Fisher. It isn't his fault as a little boy that he was born in prison, and it's based on a true story. His mom was in prison. He was born there. His dad was murdered before he was even born. Is that his fault? Is that because of his sin? No. Sometimes it's good to look back in life circumstances. Wow, I'm a foster kid. I grew up a foster kid. I have to understand that, not to say, woe is me. Because I deal with teenagers, and you know, nobody has it easy. I don't care if you're the preacher's kid, if you have looks like on the outside a perfect family, like I used to think my wife did. My wife, when I met her and I saw how her parents loved her and were involved in everything she did, it looked like the perfect family. And Wednesday night, as she shared, I learned, you know what? It was hard for her. It was hard for her growing up. And it's good sometimes to look back at our lives and see the path God has led us. And here's the lessons I've learned. You know, I have a greater understanding about being adopted in the Christ family than most of you will. Because I get it. I lived it. I know what it is to be adopted into his sonship, became a child of his outside of my bloodline. Many of you guys know that and understand that, but I look back at my life and say, you know, this wasn't in vain, and God, it wasn't just an accident. God didn't love me. He walked me through my path so I could be who I am now today. So that goes for all of you too. Your path, maybe you've had an awesome life and it's been just a joyride the entire time. It's for a reason. And it's not always for later. Sometimes it's for right now. Right now. And in the next 6 months, year, the things that happen to you can be about right then. Those things hopefully are growth opportunities for you to continue to grow. You know, a lot of us also try this. And I put it in my notes, and I'm going to try not to look at it, but I spent a season of my life, and I would say a large chunk of my life, just trying harder. Can you guys relate to that? When I look back at those BC moments in my life that I'm not good at. Oh God, why do I keep messing up? I want you to know, first of all, I'm not alone. An author of a lot of the New Testament, the person we respect so much, Paul, he said these words, "The things I know to do, those are the things I struggle with the most. And the things I know I'm not supposed to do, I end up doing those." He gets me. Because that's me. It's like, God, how is it that I know I'm passionately in love with you, and yet here I do the things I know I shouldn't do? So what did I used to do? Just try harder, right? Have many of us been told just try harder? Just work at it harder? You're not reading enough of the word. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And I think about that, and I've spent so much time in my life trying harder. Guys, I want to make sure I don't negate this, so I want to share some verses with you. There is value in working at your faith. There is value. It just can't be the point. You know, let me read these scriptures to you. 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study something many of us don't like to do. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what it says there? Get to work, open the book, and study it, and know what my word says. That goes for all of us. It isn't, Pastor Leonard, you study so we can all know what his word says. It says for all of us to study. Those of you who grew up in Awanas, I had that ingrained in me when I was a little kid. That's what Awanas stood for. Colossians 3:23. Love this verse, but once again, here's what it says. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. So there is effort involved. Effort isn't a bad thing. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, you've been doing good, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know what? Those three verses kind of put it back on what we need to do. But here's the problem with that. If you believe that's what's going to get you closer to God, it's not. It's not. There are areas in my life that I'm just bad at. I know that. And I need to work at it. See, I'm a coach. I love teaching athletics. I've taught about all the sports. I love it, okay? And there are parts, my daughter, I'm going to use her as an example. There's parts of her volleyball game that's weak. You know what happens to most of us when we have a weak area? We don't do that part. Where the truth is, that's where she needs to put the most effort and work into it, right? For me, I'll be a little bit vulnerable here. The part of my faith, my spiritual life, my godly life that I struggle with the most is prayer. You say, well, Pastor, that's easy. Just spend some time praying. See, that's easy for you. It's not easy for me. See, prayer is intimate. You're talking to the Father, and I struggle with that concept of being intimate with the Father. It's a struggle for me. I understand it. I understand my life path. I understand where I've gone through. I look back. It's not sin and failure. It's the path I was on that God placed me on where my home was broken. And so understanding that is difficult for me. Not understanding to do it. It's actually admits it. Because here, I'm a black and white guy. My wife, she can spend hours praying with God. You know what I do? I'm like, I'm this black and white. Okay, God, I'm really struggling here. Can you help me there? And then I'm like, all right, thanks. I'm like, I'm done. I'm 1 minute into this baby and I've covered everything I need to. Oh yeah, I need to be praying for Jordan today. Okay, God, I don't know what's going on. God, just help him. Just, I don't know what it is, Lord, but he needs your presence just like I need your presence. And then I go on to the next thing, you know. Whereas my wife has this deep, intimate time with God where they walk through things together. And it's a struggle for me, not her. See, trying harder is a good thing. And it's something we all need to do. But over time, what I've learned is this. I am just like Paul. The things I know to do, they're hard. Not all of them. There are parts of my faith that I am great at. There are parts of who I am in Christ that I get, and I can move forward in it. But the other parts are just, they're tough for me. So trying harder isn't what's going to bring you closer to God. Doing is a part of being a Christian. Does that make sense to you? Loving your neighbor, doing. It's action, not just, oh, I have good feelings towards this person. As you talked about, you know, they want us to do, hey, I have good thoughts towards us. That's not God. Loving my neighbor is bending over backwards to help. On my way here, my neighbor stopped me to want to tell me something really exciting about their life. You know what? I was in a hurry. I stopped in the middle of the road hoping they would get it, that I got to go. I didn't even pull over. Stop in the middle of the road. But I sat there for 5 minutes and let them talk to me about how excited they were. And I realized in the midst that I should be excited for them. Right? They're my neighbor. They need to know I care. So doing is an action word. It's not a feeling. You got to do stuff. But doing is not being a Christian. It's a part of being a Christian. See, being a child of God isn't something you do. It's who you are. Did you know that God doesn't want anything from you? Think about that. God wants everything for you. See, he wants us to live a life that is abundant, that is filled, that is full. See, the things that we give him, I always go back to the band Sixpence None the Richer, and I think I've shared this before. And it always sinks into my head. I thought that was the strangest name of a band. And so I looked it up once on what Sixpence None the Richer, and it says, I'll do a brief, it's a story about how a father gives his child sixpence to go buy the father a birthday gift. And the question is the father any richer for getting what he gave his son to buy for him? And the truth is, that's how it is with God. See, it's like my own family. No matter what, how hard my son Jordan, my son James, or my daughter Jalen try, no matter how hard they work at it, they cannot be any more a part of my family than they already are. Does that make sense? They're all boils. All right? Good, bad, ugly, indifference, that is who they are, and they're a part of our family. And that's who we are with Christ. We keep trying to say, oh, God, you'll love me more if I'll just fix my bad habits. Or, God, I know you would just hear my prayers better if I could stop doing this. Or, God, if I could just quit doing this, or I could do more of this, if I would just spend 3 hours more in prayer every day, then God, my life would be perfect and you would overflow your blessings. And that's not truth. Truth is, God wants to bless your life. He is trying to bless your life. And sometimes through hardship, he is blessing your life. And we don't even get it and understand it. We miss it all the time. I want to say this. You are a child of the King. And it's just, I don't want to say ironic, it's just God, that while we're singing these songs, there are so many lyrics that pointed to just that. We are heirs of the King. That is incredible. So here's what I want to do. I want us to, there are a lot of things. When I say, who am I? There's a lot of things that could fall under that. A lot of things, right? God's word says a lot about who you are. And I just want to list a few of them. Okay, and I just want to do them and give you some verses, but things we're going to do, and I want you to repeat them after me. I'm going to say, first of all, that you are loved. This is what I want us to do together. I want to say this, I am loved. All right, here we go, ready? I am loved. Say it again like you mean it, ready? I am loved. See, so many times, we don't believe that. Know why? Because we see ourselves as unlovable. We see ourselves as broken and fallen and failures and mess ups. And I want you to know that's not how God sees you. It's not how God sees me. Yeah, I know I'm broken and a failure, but that's not how God sees me. Just like my sons and my daughter, there is nothing they're going to do that would change how I see them. They are my family no matter what. No matter what they do, no matter the choices they make, even if they reject me, they are my children. Right? You are loved. Say that again. I am loved. I am loved. See, there are so many verses on that one. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That isn't a generic everybody. That's for God so loved you. Like God so loved me that he gave his only son, that whoever, any of us who would choose to believe could have everlasting life. One of my favorite love verses of all, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love towards us and that while I was still sinning. See, to me, that's real love. It's easy to love people who are perfect. But he points out that while we're a mess, he loves you. Man, those are my favorite. We got to keep going, though. All right, second one, you are forgiven. All right, let's say that together. I am forgiven. Ready? I am forgiven. Whew, that one was way quieter. Let's try that again. I am forgiven. You know why that's important? Many of us are stuck. 1 John 1:9 says what? I should ask the Awana people here. I know there's a few in here. Right? If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to what? Forgive us. See, I think some of us believe because we're not loved, there's no way God could forgive me, right? Because I'm so bad, God can't love me and therefore won't forgive me. And that is a holdup in our faith. We get stuck there. So we never move forward. We never accept the love that he is our father. He is our king. And we don't have to please him. We just got to enjoy him. We get stuck there because I can't do things for him because he sees me for the bad who I am instead of as his son and his child and his daughter, and he loves me and he cares about me. He forgives me. You are redeemed. I want you to say, I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Say that again. I am redeemed. You know what redeemed is? It really struck me the week before Easter was I read God's word where it says that he was a ransom for us. He paid this price. When you have a coupon and you want to redeem it, you pay for this. We are redeemed. We've already been paid for. The price has been paid. If we don't believe that, then you don't believe that you're redeemed. If you don't believe, as Pastor was saying, or as Chris was saying, that it was a physical resurrection, then you don't believe that you've been redeemed. He did die for you, but he rose again, conquering death, being victorious over the sin. In other words, the price was big enough. It was enough and it is enough, and we are redeemed. We don't have to live our lives stuck in bondage and living like there is nothing for, because we are now slaves to it. We have been bought and redeemed. You are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I already shared that. Where is that at? I just got to find page 2. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. I don't even know how I worded that one. We know how it is. I am a new creation. Let's say that. I am a new creation. You know, many of us don't believe that. You believe, like I had some things in my life that I'm just going to confess. When I married Trish, I added her to my life. I didn't make her my life. Does that make sense to you? And I had to deal with that and confess that with her and walk through some heartache because of that. And here's the deal. We don't add God to our life. When you receive Christ, he becomes your life. And see, if you're just trying to add God to your life, then you really aren't a new creation. You're the old creation with a pretty little piece on it. You know what I'm saying? But that's not what his word says, that we're a new creation. The old is gone. We have newness about us. We're a new creation, and we have to live like we're a new creation. We don't have to put the dirty oil back in the car. Put new stuff in. Go about life, treat it different. I'm not saying you got to stop being who you were. No, like I said, looking back at the path you've had to get you where you're at now is a great benefit to know. But understanding that God had a purpose for your life so you can move forward is understanding what it means to be a new creation. He didn't change your past and doesn't want you to quit, start thinking completely new in every area of your life. He just wants to know that, you know what? Understand that I got you. Understand that and live like it. Be a new creation. And last one. You're his family. Let's say that I am in God's family. Ready? I am in God's family. Let me tell you something. Through this song, I heard this. I saw it up in our lyrics, and I didn't talk with Chris ahead of time about the music or what it's going to be, and I saw that over and over again, that we are heirs of the King. You know, and here's where, wow, I love that I left my Bible down there. Actually, Jordan, can you bring me my phone? Romans 8, 14, I believe it starts in 14. Thank you, son. Romans 8. So sweaty, it won't even open up. Come on, there we go. Got it. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And I was taught as a child that Abba was the word daddy. Not just this authority figure, but daddy. Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Whew. That is so powerful to know that there is nothing we need to do to be his kids. If you receive Jesus into your life and you have said, God, I've done it my way, the BC. I've tried. I know the failure I am. And you came to this point where you said, God, I recognize you're God. And you give your life to him and you choose to follow him, then you know what? You are his heir. You are family. You are forevermore a part of the family of God. Dirty laundry and all. Dirty laundry and all. God loves us. I want us to watch a video just simply. And while that video is going, I want you to watch it. I chose a version of it that has lyrics on it so you could, because sometimes you miss the lyrics. And I want to make sure you could see as well. But also, I want to go ahead and open up the altar for prayer, because there's many kinds of people, because, you know, we're all broken, right? But some of you haven't come to the point where you said, I have a BC, or I don't have a but now. Okay? We all have a BC, whether you've received Christ or not. But do you have a but now? You need to have a point in your life you said, God, I give up on my life trying to do this. I want to give you my life. And I'm going to choose to follow you. Your word says you're going to love me, even in my ugliness. It doesn't say you have to go clean yourself up, get yourself fixed up, fix all your faults, quit being this terrible person, and then come to me. No, he wants you to come to him broken, because we're all broken. And he loves us, and he wants to show that to you, that he will love you and accept you. And as a church family, that's the way it is when our families break down too, isn't it? They're still ours. We wrap our arms around them. We walk them, said, I know it's ugly. We pray for each other. We care about each other. We love each other. That's what a church is supposed to do. So many of you have never had this but now moment. I don't know. The Holy Spirit's been tugging at your heart, but there has to come a time where you have to choose when you are going to follow God. If that's today, don't put it off. Pastor and I will be here. Come talk to us. But then there's also many of us who've been trying to work it out. You've been working hard at your salvation. Now where are you at? What did I say at the beginning? These letters I got that says I'm out of sorts. I'm just not a good vessel. I'm in a rut. I need to bounce back. And it's all about you, isn't it? What you're doing. You know what? Maybe you need to just give it to God and say, God, I'm tired of trying. Can I just rest in your presence? Can I just, for a minute, get my eyes off me, out of the mirror, and say, God, you said you love me, so just love me. Spend some time. Maybe you're tired of trying, and it's time now to quit trying and just open your heart and mind and enjoy God's presence. I hate to say this. Some of you need to start working, trying a little. Does that sound bad? Because it's not the point. But some of you don't spend time with God. Some of you don't read his words. You know what? We need to rest in his presence. I get that. I think it's hugely important. But you also, for some of us, because we're all different, we need to get up and start doing some things with our life for God. Loving him. It's not the point, but it's part of being a Christian. So we're going to have this altar. Maybe you just need to come pray. Maybe you're going to do it right there, but the altar is, there's something special about getting out of your chair and coming forward. I know God hears you back there the same way he does here. I know that. It's my prayed logic, right? Black and white. God, you can hear me there. Why do I got to go spend 3 hours praying? I just say, help, I need it. You know that, right? But there is something special about coming. Not here. There's nothing special about this. We pray over this. But this is something about getting up and doing something. It's an action. There's something more than just holding it into myself. It's like those who've accepted the Lord. God's word says, you know, go tell somebody. Don't just hold it as some big secret. Tell somebody. Allow yourself to be a part of a family. This is going to be open as we pray, as we watch this video. We're just going to open this up. Pastor and I will be down here, and if you need to come talk to us. But if not, just listen and hear the truth behind these lyrics.
That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart. Well, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. Because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean,
forgiven, redeemed, your new creation, child of the King. He loves you so much that he isn't caught up in your failures or our poor effort. He wants you, not what you can do. He gives us all we need, and he loves us.
I hope you receive his love today. As Pastor Bill has so wonderfully illustrated, he does love you and he does care about your life. And life is not easy. As we prepare to go into offering time, just want you to know this is a part of worship. Offering our lives to him, offering our hearts to him, offering our resources, our talents, and offering our finances to him. And you know, God can do a whole lot more than we can do with our nickels, dimes, and quarters and dollars. And so it's just another step of knowing that he loves us and wants his best for us, and knowing that that he wants us to love him and trust him, especially with this area of our lives, our finances. And so I want to encourage you in that today as we prepare to give our tithes and our offerings. I just want to encourage you to pray about this area of your life and this part of your relationship with God, your finances. And, you know, if you've made a decision today for Christ, tear off that connection point, fill it out, check it out. If you're willing to serve in some area that we need a lot of volunteers, that's in the bulletin. If you're willing to serve, check that place you're willing to serve, and we'll be in touch with you. But utilize that. Just drop it in the offering bag. And give us a chance to pray with you about what's going on in your life. So fill out that prayer request on the back as well. And so, you know, this is a time of celebration. It's a time of worship as we bring our tithes and offerings. So, ushers, if you'll come forward, and I say again, Heart Cry family and friends, it's offering time.